Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, all you beautiful people, to this episode of Alive to Love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and this broadcast is coming to you to just tell you one more time out of 4 years of telling you I'm pursuing one value with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that value is the value of love. For the year 2024, my New Year's resolution is one word: love. So thank you for joining here today. If you've never been here before, again, I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and this broadcast is and this radio show is about unpacking the pilgrimage and the highest value of all humankind, and that is love. I think love's been mistreated and downgraded to some kind of easy peasy cotton candy, happy helium balloon kind of view, and I'm here to change that. I'm going to raise my sights. I don't want love to be reduced down to some simple little cliches or bumper sticker motto. I want to unpack and research and know what this beautiful thing called love is all about. So here you are, and if you've never been here before, let me tell you, we do a couple of things here to start us off and then to conclude. And the first thing we do here on the No BS Bishop is we do Love's Creed. It was a New Year's resolution I wrote about a decade ago, and I thought it was just for me, but then I refined it over time, and now it's something I call Love's Creed. So let me repeat it for you in total. I'll come back, and then I'll offer it to you so that you can repeat it after me like a vow at a wedding altar. All right? Here we go. Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, now let's go back. I'll give you a portion of it, and then you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. You know, as often as I have repeated this and offered it to you over the years and shared it back and forth with individuals and a few churches, and as often as I repeat it for myself, I never grow weary of these words. They always stir me at some level, and some portion of it stands out a little more than another. And here I am again today looking at this, realizing this is who I am. This is what I want to be about. And it's the invitation for you to join me to be this, alive to love. Not on the earth for hate. I'm alive for love. That just resonates with me from the hair follicles to my toenails and my soul in between. So thank you for being here again today. If you're a regular listener, you really do bless me and honor me. I will not take your presence for granted. So let me share with you where I'm at today. I believe that somehow or another, love has become a commodity or a utility, and not necessarily by what we say about it. Nobody really says, well, I just use love as a utility or a commodity. Because if they did, well, then I'd know immediately you really don't have a grasp of love. But rather than saying it right out loud, we live love like it's a commodity, a thing, or a utility. But I hear people often say, well, you can't just love. We must also, and then you fill in the blank. So they'll say, you can't just love. We must also be tough on people. You can't just love. We must also occasionally be angry. You can't just love. Occasionally, you've got to be disciplined. I understand what we're after there, but I believe that this is what's created the vision of love as just a utility, just a commodity that we use that say, well, listen, I'm going to be tough on you, but don't forget, it's about love. See, my vision, my stance, my understanding of love is that love is so much bigger, more practical at so many different layers, thousands of layers perhaps, that love is the purpose in all of the things that we try to say, well, we got to add that to love. No, love already holds those ideas. Does that make sense? So if people say, well, we have to have tough love, I take exception to that because I believe love that is love is tough all by itself. I don't have to make love tough. I have to recognize that if I understand the real value and the purpose and the beauty of love, it's tough. So I never preface for myself. I never preface anything I'm going to say by saying, well, this is tough love. I simply say, this is love. I believe that the vision of love has sometimes been created to make love look like some nice and pretty, beautiful, but empty pan or pot sitting on the stove. We walk by and see this gorgeous, brand new pan or pot. I say, oh, look at that. It's just shiny and new. Woo, look how pretty it is. Here's the problem with that, though. If that brand new saucepan, if that brand new iron skillet is brand new and shiny, it's just empty. It's not been used. It's not been purposed toward something more valuable than the pan or the pot itself. There's been no sauces or vegetables or any meat, no beef, no venison, no pork, no lamb chops, nothing. Never, nothing's ever touched that sweet, shiny pot. And see, I think sometimes we look at love like that. Ooh, look at love. Oh, there it is, sitting on the stove. Never been used, but oh, isn't it pretty? That's love. I believe in that kind of love. Well, count me out. Because if a pan or pot or iron skillet is just as brand new as the day it came off of the assembly line at a factory, that means no sauces, no vegetables, no recipes, and no aroma has ever come from that pan other than just the beauty of its shininess. No aroma has ever stimulated hunger from that pan. Nothing in that pan, whatever recipe may have come into it, has ever gotten my saliva running because it makes me hungry. It's never gotten my juices going as I smell what's coming from that good old pot, that good old pan, that good old iron skillet. You see, love is the delicious food that is cooking in that pan or in that skillet or that pot. It's the delicious aromas coming from that utility. It's not, love is not a utility. Love is the aroma coming from that pan or that pot. Love is not the pan or the pot. Love is the contents in that pan or pot. Whatever's cooking on that stove eventually makes its way into the atmosphere of a room. It's potentially being stained, though. You know, a shiny new pan or pot. You know, we may have that shiny new pan pot. We got it through Amazon. We went to the store and bought it, brought it home and looked at it and thought, oh, I could never use it. It's so pretty. Well, now that thing is simply an artifact, isn't it? It's just this thing we set on the stove to look pretty. But that's not what it was created for. Love is not sitting there on the stove to look pretty. Love is all the ingredients in that beautiful pan or pot. That gets stained over time. It gets banged over time. There's never been a pan or pot within the reach of my hand that hadn't been dropped once in a while in its lifetime. It's been bumped. It's been dented occasionally because I'm klutzy like that. It's not just the utility sitting on a stove. It's all those ingredients that are going to potentially stain that shiny new utility. But whatever comes from that pan, that pot, that skillet is going to feed a household that is starved by the presence of the deliciousness in the room. I'm a big coffee snob. Everybody that knows me personally knows Randy's a coffee snob. I don't just drop some. I won't, for the sake of being public here, I won't just say a particular brand of coffee. But there are certain cheap brands of coffee that I just won't. I won't waste my taste buds on. I don't enjoy it. So to the end of my coffee snobbery, I grind beans. My son, he roasts his beans. That's my boy. He's a chip off the old block. So when I get beans, whether from the store, occasionally my son will give me coffee beans. Oh, I love grinding those beans so they're fresh for the next few days. So they're beautifully aromatic in the room. And so whenever I grind beans, our house fills with the smell of those freshly ground beans. So if somebody comes in that hasn't been in the house for a little bit, they step in, they'll go, "Oh, are you brewing some coffee?" Or they'll say, "Did you just grind some coffee beans?" Well, how do they know? They don't see my old coffee grinder, which, by the way, is showing its age. In fact, I've got a little bit of tape on it to hold it together because I like this coffee grinder. But you know that the coffee grinder isn't coffee, but that coffee grinder releases an aroma that fills the house. This is what my illustration's about. Love is the aroma. Love is the intangible, magnificent purposes out of a recipe or out of a coffee bean or out of some stew that's cooking on the stove. Listen, love is not a commodity, a thing, or a utility. Love is the essence of a delicious smell. Love is the essence of an aroma, of a memory that an aroma gives me. So when I smell bread that's cooking in the oven, listen, my imagination starts to run toward the bread I'm going to put some butter on later. This is what love is about. It carries a room. It carries an atmosphere. Love fills the space that it's in. Many years ago, I used to say about love that love is like working at a perfume factory. So if I worked at a perfume factory and I accidentally stumbled and fell into a vat of perfume and I went in head over heels into this vat and I jumped to my feet and jumped out, for the rest of that day and maybe for the rest of that month, nobody would have to wonder what happened to me or where I worked, because whether I showered immediately or took a bath immediately, I'm going to smell of perfume that I stumbled into for a long time. You see, this is love. 1 John 4 says, God is love, and love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. The aroma of love, the stick-to-itness of love, is that which is God. I don't have to define it. I don't have to start telling people, well, here comes some tough love. If I'm living in love, then love itself carries the moment, so that if what I'm saying is difficult to say, it's saturated in the perfume and the vat I've fallen into in love. My words are the full deliciousness of a recipe cooking on a stove. My words are not my determination to get even with you. My words are steeped in love. They've been setting in the atmosphere of love, so that my words, though difficult to speak, are not words that I have to announce. It's a tough love. No, if love is there, love carries it, and love will be the aroma. Love will be the deliciousness sitting on the stove. To know that my words have been born out of God, born out of love. Our world is waiting for powerful people like that to show up. Our world is dying for the aroma born in a true love. You know, it's I say it this way too, that my life as a preacher has been 50 years of discovery. How do I say what I'm going to say in a way that will stick with my listeners? That's hard. Some time ago, I used to pray, God, I want to preach like Jesus preached. And well, then I realized Jesus didn't have to go get a sermon put together. Jesus lived his sermons. Jesus lived in the steeping beauty of the presence of God. And you see, I'm convinced the reason he drew people to him and the reason he became the most popular figure in all of history is that he was the carrier of the love of God. Though his words were impossible at times, people would hear it and respond by saying, "What? That's a hard saying." But they knew it was a saying born in love. Our world's waiting for powerful people like that, not just in Jesus, but now in me. Not just in Jesus, but now in you, to be people steeped, carrying the deliciousness, the aroma, the recipe of love. We're not just some shiny new pot. We're not just some brand new iron skillet that's never been used. We've been seasoned. We've been used up in the power of the recipe of love. Simply and profoundly, I'm absolutely convinced the world is crying out for the appearance of people who've come from this kind of radiant love, no matter what the challenges that are in front of us. I started to say a moment ago, and I chased a rabbit, but as a preacher, I came to understand that if I will spend time in the week prior to a sermon, filling my heart, my mind with the reality of my subject, not just subject material itself, but the reality, and not just the week prior, but my life, that I speak out of my living values, not my borrowed Google researched values, what I did the research and here's what I found. Well, okay, that's all fine and good, and it has a purpose, but it does not carry the day. The world is not waiting for more of us to be walking, talking Google researchers. The world is not waiting for a bunch of Googleites to step out and say, well, I did the research, and here's what it says. Hey, anybody can do that. There's no magic there. There's no charm there. There's no aroma in the kitchen there, except the stale aroma of what everybody has always done, and that is, you know the numbers, you know the statistics, you know the Greek words, the Hebrew words, you get what I'm saying, right? The world is waiting for powerful people, people of radiant love. They radiate, they carry love. And should I, here, and it has happened to me multiple times, should I be asked to preach at the drop of a hat? Should I be asked in a moment's notice, could you speak? I don't have to go and I don't have to respond by saying, well, I've got to go and put together some thoughts. I've reached a point in my life where those thoughts are no longer just something I Googled or something I pulled a book off a shelf to find. Those are thoughts that have been steeping in me. That smell that spiritual smell you can sense around me, that's the recipe that's been cooking in me for a long time. That's the recipe that has become my reality. Many, many years ago, I was just a 16, 17-year-old baby boy, and my dad took me to an East Texas Pentecostal church. He had been there somewhere along the way in his life, and he wanted me to meet the pastor there who had been there forever. And he said, I want you to meet him. I want you to see what a church service out in the East Piney Woods, East Texas Piney Woods is like. Well, long story short, we walked to the door. My dad introduced me. You know, he met an old friend of his past and that pastor. And he said, hey, my son is called to preach. Well, this pastor, this old gentleman, looked at me. His eyes brightened up. He said, well, son, then you're going to preach for us today. You could have knocked me over with a twig. I was flummoxed. I was floored. I said, what? No. Dad said, you're a great preacher. I want to hear you. He said, oh, no, son, I won't take no for an answer. Well, I finally said, well, but I don't even have a Bible. And he said, well, here, you can use mine. Well, at the end of the service, before the end of the service, I was up on that in that pulpit. He wouldn't take no for an answer, neither would that congregation. But here's this puppy, this teenage boy, who we're going to give him a microphone and let him preach. Well, here's the rest of that story. Leading up to that day, I had been a part of a renewal movement that was just steeping in prayer. A bunch of us high school kids, I was hardly in the doors of the church, but what they had me joining a group of praying teenagers, and we prayed into the wee hours of the night. It was beautiful. It was magnificent. Clumsy, yeah. It was youthful exuberance, yes. But it was a thing of beauty. So guess what I preached on in my very first sermon as a young puppy boy? You got it. I preached on prayer. It was the first thing that I had really been dipped into, like a bag of tea in hot water. I was filled with the aroma of prayer. Now, to that end, I'm filled with the aroma of love. It's my passion. It's my life's journey. I'm not just some shiny pot or a good-looking brand-new iron skillet sitting on a stove. No. I've had a few bumps and bruises. I've had some recipes cooked in me. And now what comes from me is my determination to live this glorious, magnificent journey, pilgrimage, marathon, mountain climb that I call love. And I believe the world is waiting for somebody full of radiant love. And I simply am volunteering to be one of those people. And I'm inviting you, come join me in this pursuit. Come on, come along with me. Let's see what might happen amongst us, right? Let's see who might come running when we clear our throat and we say, I got something I want to share. You know, the other side of that is true too. Who might be running away when we clear our throat and say, well, I got something to share. I've seen more than my fair share of people scampering away when some of us Christian folk clear our throat and say, well, I got something to say. And whatever we've been steeping in usually comes out, and it is not a delicious aroma. It's something else. Well, I got to bring this plane in for a landing. The airport's below and the lights are signaling me. It's time to land. I like to close the No BS Bishop Alive to Love with a couple of practices. Practices are these. First of all, I want you to learn how to breathe well. Every day, practice your breathing. Breathe deep as you can, hold it in your lungs as long as you can, and then exhale as deeply as you took in, exhale just as deeply. On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can with your feet flat on the floor and your head held as high as you can. One, two, three, inhale. And hold it and exhale. That's a Sabbath for your body. Your body, it will thank you for the moment of repose and simply breathing. It's the one human exercise we can't live without. We can't live without breathing. We've got to breathe in order for everything else to function. And breathing is like loving. We've got to love because nothing else matters if we don't love. To that end, I want to invite you to a practice that I talk about every week right here, and that is the practice of saying, slowly but surely, the three most charmed, magical, holy words in the human language. I love you. Say it with eye contact if you so dare. Say it with intentionality. Make sure that the person you're saying it to really gets that you're in full meaning moment with these words. Look somebody in the eye. It's awkward, I know. It's weird, I know. It's clumsy. It's startling. It's all of that. But I'm giving it all I can to say it as often as I know how to as many folks as I can possibly muster. It's valuable. So let me say it to you over the radio. I love you. All I can do is invite you to ask, to see, imagine that you can see my eyes. That's all I can do is ask that. But if you will, take it just like that. I love you. Carry it forward. Take it to somebody else. Take it to a complete stranger. Offer it to somebody that maybe you know, but you've never said it before. Give them a moment of real value and intentionality that, yeah, I know that it's startling, but maybe it'll startle them to life. To be startled is to like start a car, you know, with a little bit of oomph to get that car started. Maybe you'll start their engine, their engines of love. We need it, don't we? That we need that radiant love going on with us. And so that's why I'm here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 5:30, Sunday mornings at 9:30. I'm here haranguing and teaching and challenging and offering. And I'm sitting on the stove, and this old pot and this old pan, this old iron skillet has carried some years of recipes and aromas in it. And I'm determined to make sure I cook out of all of this anything less than love, because all those lesser values are simply potential BS. I'm not here to bait and switch. I'm here to be alive to love, alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love. And I'm so grateful you came here today along with me. Now, rise and shine. Go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for lovers to leap into the world of pain and sorrow and make love the value by which we live, eat, breathe, and sleep. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.